So glad she's back. So glad Cindy's back. It's always so fun to sit down at the beginning of service up here and then see what happens while I'm looking this direction. And all of your faces out there, I'm so glad to see you today. I want to take a moment to acknowledge that we're celebrating, honoring Memorial Day this weekend, and honoring all those who have lost their lives in military service to this country. And so we do take that in as a solemn prayer of remembrance for all those that we've lost, all those who put themselves in harm's way for the good of many. I also have to say this because I'll be in trouble with Betty Potts if I don't, so I'm just gonna do it while I'm thinking of it. You better buy tickets to this Turkish dinner. I have to say that having Tommy in a fez today was the alternative to other entertainments that he could have done. He didn't want to do the whirling dervish thing like the Sufis. And we couldn't talk him into a belly dance. So, yeah, I'll regret that for the rest of my life that we couldn't. So get your tickets to the Turkish Delight dinner. They're working. I know, it's a fun image, isn't it? Yeah, you can't not think about that now. Thank you. Sorry, Tommy. Not too sorry, but sorry a little bit. So I have so many things to say to you today, and yet it comes down to a pretty simple message. We've been working all this month with Edwin Gaines' book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And at first blush, you would think that it's just about making our lives more abundant, and we think of prosperity as money. But if you've noticed throughout the month, our first lesson was about tithing. It was about giving of your resources in gratitude for the spiritual good that you've received. And it also opened you up to be a conduit of that great circular flow of abundance in the energy, in the universe. The second was goal setting, which is allowing yourself to expand beyond your limitations, beyond your idea of who you think you are, to fulfill forgotten dreams, to fulfill something that has been calling to you, but you made all kinds of excuses not to do it. And it's not just to do or have the thing, it's about the expansion. It's about getting beyond ourselves. And then our third lesson, and boy, you all worked so deeply on this one, is forgiveness. And that is a big one that we don't do just one time in our lives. It's a daily practice for us. And I don't know if you saw this on the resource page, but one of the things that we're doing in order to keep our minds and our hearts focused on the good is to try to practice 21 days of having a complaint-free world. And so our purple complaint-free world bands have been ordered, and they will be in soon. For if you don't have a band, this is mine, it's heavy duty. It's made of many strands of twisted rope with a magnetic clasp on it, so I can easily transfer it to the other wrist as I do often. But we'll have those bracelets here so that you can practice that part of forgiving yourself for shutting people out, to forgive yourself for the complaints that might use up a lot of space in your mind. Anything that's using up a lot of space in our minds that isn't for our highest good, I wonder what you'd be doing if you weren't doing that. What would your mind be doing if you weren't finding something to be upset about or obsess about? What would you be doing with that space that would enhance your own life and enhance the world. When you have those, we talked about this in class a little bit, when you have those dialogues going on with somebody else in your mind and they're not there, and you're wishing they were so you could say all those things, what would you be doing with that freer space in your mind if you weren't doing that? It's just something to think about. And those little complaint-free world bands just help us to do that. I had one person say, you know, I'm a pretty nice person. I think this will be pretty easy. Except those little things sneak up on us. They, because we are human beings, and that's why that happens. It's because we're human. Simple. But our goal is to begin to clear out some space so that we can live and be, as we heard in the daily word today, as we heard in the gathering prayers, we've heard in the songs today, to be who we came here to be. Don't ever, ever, ever forget that there is not another person on this planet, in the past or in the future, that will be exactly like you. Even if you believe you've lived multiple lives, it was not the incarnation that you are right now. And all I know is that we've got this one right here, right now. We've got this one. And so it's important for us to find out what it is we're supposed to be doing. Now, I'll give you a hint. This is a little bit of a shortcut. You may already be living your divine purpose, at least for now, and not even realize that that's what you're doing. Because sometimes our divine purpose is such a natural gift, it's such a natural talent, it's such a natural urge that we overlook it as our divine purpose. Now think about that for a moment. We may think that everybody else thinks and does the way we think and do in this unique thing, but maybe that is your divine purpose and you just haven't recognized it. If that is the case for you, when you recognize that divine purpose, that's going to just blow up with possibilities. Because you will see yourself differently than you do right this very moment. You'll see yourself bigger. You'll see yourself serving the world and saying namaste to others. You'll find yourself saying namaste to your own self. You remember we did that exercise a few weeks ago where it was not only us gazing at God, but having God gaze back at us. Until that gaze becomes one thing. So the other night when we talked about divine purpose, we went through a few steps. I'm just going to run through these because this is a wealth of information, just a wealth. When you make a commitment to something, do it wholeheartedly. If you make a commitment to discovering your divine purpose, put all your energy on doing that. If there's a back door for you, if there's a way out of it, that's not it. That's not a full commitment. If you do it conditionally, that's not a full commitment. So what is it in your life that you can commit to wholeheartedly for your own good and for the good of the world? What is that thing? That's a sacred honor. That's a sacred trust. That's uniquely joyful for you. And as you do it for yourself, you're doing it for everyone else Do you know that your highest good can never be to the detriment of anyone else's highest good? If it's your highest good, it's for the highest good of all. Now, there will be those who will tell you that what you're doing is not the highest good for them. And we'll talk about what you do when that comes up. But do you see that we started out in our lives with a commitment to survive, to be alive, to make a living, to move ahead. And then we began to make a commitment to ourselves to prosper in our lives, to begin to experience the abundant flow of the universe. And after we do that, then we make a commitment to make the world a better place. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, isn't it? And my friends, we have to right now. We have to commit to making the world a better place. Because there is what is called second force up in the world right now. Don't you see? There are things that are going on that would appear to be mean. Small-hearted, narrow. There are things going on in the world that are selfish, that are self-serving. And when we see that in the world, we have a call to get bigger, to have this space open up. And we're going to do what we did Wednesday night. I just want you to take a minute, and I want you to expand your chest if you're able. I want you just to notice what it feels like to get your shoulders back and down instead of up around your ears. You know how we get up like this? We don't even realize I'm not tense. I'm perfectly relaxed. Bring your shoulders back and down and let yourself breathe, for heaven's sake. Because, you know, that's what we do when we get all caught up in life, when we get those interior dialogues going, when we start talking about ourselves or others inside here in less than favorable terms, we contract. So let's just keep this open. Because our bodies are a tool also in finding our divine purpose. So ask yourself what it is you're passionate about. Ask yourself what you're already good at. Verbalize it. Say it out loud. Say it out loud and watch your universal spiritual cheerleaders come in to back you up. Watch your team come in to support you. And I promise you, that's the way it works. I promise you it works that way. Now, why wouldn't we embrace our passion when we know that we're going to get all the support that we need from the universe? Because we spend a lot of time going, oh God, help me find what it is I'm supposed to do. Oh God, I'm here to serve you. Oh God, please be by my side while I figure out what it is I'm supposed to do to serve you. Oh please, God, listen to me. Oh please. And God's just waiting for us to shut up and God says, beloved, I'm right here to support you. I'm right here to lift you up. I've always been right here. Here I am. I'm right by your side. Whatever it is you're passionate about, thank you for listening to your own life. Listening to your own life to discover what it is. Here I am to support you. That's what happens when we get quiet for a minute. So, say it out loud and then watch for signals from the universe when you take those first steps. You'll see the steps that say go. You'll see the steps that say stop. And you'll also see everything run up against you that would keep you from doing what it is. You know why that happens? It's not a big cosmic, well, yeah, it is kind of a big cosmic joke. But it's not a malicious one. It's for us to determine whether or not we're really, really, really committed. And everything that is not like our passion, our divine purpose, will pop up for us to say, oh yeah, need to handle that. Yeah, need to handle that too. And so expect it and don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged at all for a moment. It's just clearing things out. So, learn how to take care of yourself. Learn how to be a servant. Sometimes the way we find our divine purpose is by getting ourselves out of the way and learning how to serve other people. Doing the simple, quiet, unseen tasks that get the job done. It's chop wood, carry water. It's Brother Lawrence. Finding the divine in the simplest, most mundane tasks. We have to learn how to do that. That's a good discipline. And you know what I see in this community are plenty of people willing to do that. To get their hands in the dirt, to get their hands in the dishes, to get their hands in the flower beds, to get their hands in the brush, to get their hands in the kitchen to make food for people who are not able at the moment to prepare their own meals. I see that here. And if you have not yet found yourself pulled into that kind of work here, give it a try. You know, it's not hard to go out and pick sticks up off the trail. It's pretty simple. Or litter. Thank you. Or as at the Last Supper Club, somebody washed dishes for about 12 hours straight during preparation, eating, and cleaning up. God bless his back. So here's something for you to keep in mind on your self-care. Get your life in order. Clean up a little mess every day. Clean up two or three messes every day. Clean up your partner's mess in service to your partner. Ruh-roh. It's just a suggestion. Find some solitude for yourself every day. Seek out beauty, create beauty where you can. Give yourself a little treat every now and then. It might be iced coffee on the hot porch. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Tell the truth all the time, everywhere, kindly. Could have a whole lesson on that one. Laugh. Remain calm in the midst of the storms of life. Acknowledge other people. Oh my goodness, so much comes to us when we acknowledge others and just say thank you. I see you. Thanks. Open your heart. Are you doing it? Shoulders back and down. Chest open. Feed your spirit in whatever it is that you do that feeds your spirit. Welcome change. That's another lesson all by itself, welcoming change. That's not usually the first thing we say when change comes along. Oh, thanks, I was waiting for you to get here. I can't wait for things to change. Especially the ways I didn't expect. And the other thing is to let go of the things you can let go of, physical things and emotional things. Do something new. Do something you haven't tried before. Express gratitude to your God. Do those things. That's just a little short list of about 14 things. You know, we look to other people who are living their divine purpose, and we're amazed at what we see. But do you know that the reason that they are our heroes is because they have steadfast dedication and unshakable determination. Steadfast dedication and unshakable determination. Breathe in on that one. These same people, they have a focus. They have a joy about what they're doing. They have a sense of purposeful, possible achievement. Isn't that great? I wish those were my words. Those were Edwin's words. I want to share something with you. I've enjoyed this book so much. I hope if you were not able to join us for the class, that you'll at least get the book and read it for yourself. We'll offer it again because it did seem to have a little bit of transformative power in the people who came. I tell you what, I'm going to go straight to what the Master said. Use joy as your compass. It'll point you the right direction if you're having joy in what you're doing. Doesn't matter if it's hard. If it brings you joy, you're in the right direction. If you don't know how to do something, you don't know how to get something, make it up. In the book, they talk about somebody who said her degree was MSU, making stuff up. I've heard it with a different word in the middle, but making stuff up works for church. Live with the objections from others, because there will be people who will say, I don't think you can do that. You shouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Well, they're not you. It's your journey. It's your divine purpose. It's your life you're listening to. It's your gift to the world. It's your way of making the world better. It's your way of expressing yourself uniquely. That's what's important. And beloved, if you are still not sure what your divine purpose is, you give me a call. And we will sit together and we will explore your life and take a little time for you to listen to your life and find out what it is. But I bet you already know. And let me tell you, your divine purpose can change over time. A year ago, this was not my divine purpose. I thought this part of my divine purpose journey was over, and that my divine purpose was to continue to assist and love my children into their adulthood. I thought that my purpose was to look after my aging parents, to look after my husband, to look after my household, to look after 5 furry pets and a snake. Not my snake. Just saying. I thought that's what it was. I thought it was to do some writing, which I still do. But it turns out that my divine purpose has been, and I guess always will be, to listen to God and to speak the words. And my prayer every day, that I stand before you is, let your words be mine. And you speak words with purpose and truth, and only those words. I can live with that. And nobody's asked me so far if I'm crazy to go back into ministry. It's the best time I've had in a long, long time. So, why don't you close your eyes for just a moment? These are familiar words to you. They come from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus Christ said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before all that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You are the light of the world. He said those words to a group of people gathered on a hillside. Some of them weren't even sure why they were there. But they were drawn in, they were magnetized in to this teacher who had words for everyone, from the poorest to the richest, from near and far. Every station in life, every ability. He said, "You are the light of the world." Do you remember that we've gone deeply, deeply into your hearts before? And we found that beautiful, quiet, powerful sanctuary. And beloved, this is where you listen to your life. This is where you say, "What is it that I'm doing that brings me so much joy? What is it that I've dreamed of doing that would be a gift to the world?" In a humble way, in a magnificent way, what is it? And oh God, if I am already sure, deepen my journey. Show me more. Put me in the places where I'm heard and where I can serve, and where your goodness comes through me. For the gift of life and breath and purpose, we're grateful. For our companions gathered around us here on the journey, we're grateful. For those who reflect back to us what we have not yet seen in ourselves, we're grateful. For the gift of speaking our truth to others, living our truth to be witnessed by others, we're grateful. And for all those gifted angels in the world that we have overlooked, We open our eyes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for placing us here to be the best that we can be, so that the world is a better place. Thank you for giving us this world, this beautiful planet. So take a nice expanded breath. And let this prayer live in your body. Thank you, God. And so it is.